Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, November 2nd. It's Week 9, and this Sunday the Jags welcome the Cincinnati Bengals to Everbank Field. And it's homecoming weekend. Nearly 60 alumni players will be on hand for this week's game. And the Jags will also be wearing teal for the first time since 2013. Fans are encouraged to wear teal shirts as well. The Jags' all-time record wearing teal is 59-44, and they're 8-4 when wearing teal jerseys with black pants, which will be the combination this Sunday. And the last time the Jags wore that combination was Christmas Eve in 2006 against New England. Let's get to the week around the Jags. Coming off the bye, there's a feel that the second half of the season is upon us. Seven games down, then the bye week, and now into Week 9 on the stretch run with nine games to play. But as you would imagine, head coach Doug Marrone sees it a little differently.
Right now, the only thing that I've emphasized with the players is that this is the end of the second quarter, even though we're coming off the bye, and we're 2-1, and we haven't won a quarter in a long period of time, and just really trying to keep our focus on that. So, you know, that's what I've tried to talk to our players about, not, you know, get into any questions about, you know, back-to-back or anything of that nature, and let's just make sure that we keep our eye, you know, right on what's up next. You know, not worrying about what's behind us, not worrying about what's front of us. You know, and even like today, like I talked to the team about, hey, today, let's put the work in today to help ourselves have an opportunity to perform well on Sunday. You know, I'll say the same thing to them tomorrow, you know, and I'll just say, hey, I'll mention the second quarter and our eyes on Cincinnati. And I'll try to keep them focused on that.
The bye is coming a good time for players to get healthy, especially on offense. Running back Leonard Fournette is back in the field this week, along with center Brandon Linder and even left tackle Cam Robinson, who practiced for the first time on Wednesday. Rookie wide receiver Dede Westbrook is also back on the practice field, and the organization has a couple of weeks to decide if he's ready to be activated. After lighting up the preseason and then missing the first 8 weeks of the season with a core muscle issue, Westbrook has frustration over the last couple of months.
I'm very frustrated about it, or I was before, because I've been playing this game since I was a kid, you know what I'm saying, growing up, and it takes everything out of me to watch the game from the press box, you know, and see my teammates, my brothers out there competing, giving it all they got, and me not being able to help.
This is also the first look at defensive tackle Marcell Dareus after he was traded from the Buffalo Bills during the bye week. And as he said in his first visit with the Jacksonville media on Monday, it was a whirlwind getting down to Duval.
That morning, it was a waking moment. So I'm out of here so swift that before I knew it, I was already in Charlotte. By the time I got to Charlotte, I blinked an eye and I'm here in Jacksonville saying hey to the coaches and the biggest cocktail party in the world. And with all that going on, it was just the world is spinning, man. It was traded on the plane, cocktail party, going to the stadium, saying hello, getting out, going to the hotel room, laying on the bed, looking at the roof. What is going on? And called my kids and spread the news, and this is life.
There was some emotion from Dareus in that press conference. After all, he did spend the first 7 years of his career in Buffalo. And remember, he was the third overall pick in 2011 for a reason. He's a former All-Pro and a two-time Pro Bowler. He's in the early stages of a six-year, $96 million deal. But the writing was on the wall a bit in Buffalo, and there were some off-the-field issues with him there. So a change in scenery isn't necessarily a bad thing for Dareus. And for a guy making that kind of money, it's a raise as well. No state income tax in Florida. His 330-ish pound frame should help plug up the middle in the run game. It's really the only thing missing on the Jags' defense in 2017. And for D-line coach Marion Hobby, Dareus is much more than just that.
Oh, yes. You know, him. You know, you're a defensive line coach. You know who Marcell Dareus is. You know, you just kind of find him. You know, it's funny to say Marcell Dareus and Calais Campbell and put him in the same boat. I remember being in college and watching them play and say, golly, I sure like to coach that guy. Woo, I like to coach one of them. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have him here. But Marcell is another guy with football IQ. You can tell football is important to him. Making his adjustment in Jacksonville has really been good. You know, he's serious about it. Man, excited about him. He's definitely more than a nose guard. He's definitely more than just a three technique. He's a guy who can do it all.
For a guy to move around in the league from week to week to get traded, how hard is the adjustment? How different is a Jaguars D-line playbook than a Buffalo Bills D-line playbook?
Well, we don't look at it that way. We look at it, me and Coach Rebs, we look at it, hey, man, we got to get him ready. You know, if that's extra time, student time, whatever you do, you know, we got to get him ready to play because he's a guy that we're definitely going to need on Sunday.
Hear the full conversation with Jags defensive line coach Marion Hobby in this Sunday's public tailgate show airing at 10 a.m. on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app. Now let's get to this week's opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan Hoard came aboard as the radio voice of the Bengals in 2011 and was named the Ohio Sportscaster of the Year in 2014. He's also the radio voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats, which sometimes makes for busy weekends.
Well, this weekend is a good example of that. The Cincinnati Bearcats play at Tulane on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Cincinnati's game in Jacksonville is obviously at 1 o'clock on Sunday, so I've got to get from New Orleans to Jacksonville, and I hate to fly the day of a 1 o'clock game. So I'm going to hop in a rental car. I'm going to drive for about 5 hours after the Cincinnati-Tulane game. I'll find a hotel room. I'll crash for about 4 or 5 hours, and then I'll drive the rest of the way on Sunday morning. So there are some long drives and some sleepless nights, but it's well worth it.
Interstate 10, get ready for a long ride.
That's what I've heard.
Over a couple of days. Dan Hoard is with us, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's get to this Bengals team now. They lost three straight to open the season. They've won three of the last four. Are they still playing good football in that time? They've played some winning football, at least, in that time.
Well, honestly, they didn't play especially well last week. They managed to beat the Colts by a point, but I think fans walked out of the stadium thinking that they had lost rather than they won. They won in spite of themselves last week, if not for a pick six by Carlos Dunlap about midway through the fourth quarter. They do not win that game. So they had been playing reasonably well prior to that. Hopefully that was an aberration. But I guess the good news is they still managed to eke out a victory.
Why has it been so difficult to run the football this year for the Bengals?
That is a great question. They are averaging 78 rushing yards per game, which would be 11 yards worse than the lowest average in team history, going back to 1995 when they stunk. The biggest reason why is the offensive line simply has not performed very well. It was a question mark going into the season, and I guess our worst fears have been confirmed. They lost two good free agents in Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, and some of the young players they have playing on the offensive line just have not played all that well yet.
Got a young running back in Mixon who has some talent, but just nowhere to go, I guess.
Absolutely right. I honestly think that Fournette and Mixon are the two most talented rookie running backs in the NFL. But Fournette is tearing it up, averaging about 5 yards a carry, and Joe Mixon is averaging 2.98 per carry. If there's no hole, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you're not going to fare well in the NFL.
You know, it doesn't really help out Andy Dalton too much. He's a guy that could use a run game to balance some things out. Where is the confidence level in the quarterback these days?
Well, I think Andy has played reasonably well. He's got a passer rating of 87, and it would be much higher than that if he hadn't thrown four interceptions in the season opener when they got shut out by Baltimore. The big change for Andy came in week three when they fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi, and replaced him with a quarterback's coach, Bill Lazor. Since then, his passer rating is better than 100, and he certainly played well enough for the Bengals to win on a regular basis.
Very interesting. Dan Hoard is with us, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. The defense for this Bengals team has been stout so far, one of the best really in the NFL early in this season. You know, it's a group that has a lot of young guys that are playing. First-year starters are in there contributing. It's not like it's, you know, stocked full of all-pro players on defense, it seems like.
Well, they have three great veterans with Pro Bowls on their resume, yeah. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, and Vontaze Burfict. And adding to that trio, they really have beefed it up with some draft picks over the past two drafts that look like they are going to be future Pro Bowlers. Will Jackson, who was their first pick last year, a cornerback who did not play his rookie year due to injury, is already playing at a Pro Bowl level. So they feel great about that pick. And Carl Lawson, who was a fourth-round pick this year coming out of Auburn, looks like one of the great young pass rushers in the NFL. He leads the team in hits on the quarterback. He is coming up with fourth-quarter sacks when you need it desperately to close out a game. So that is going to be a person for Jacksonville fans to watch on Sunday, number 58, Carl Lawson.
All right, let's finish with this stretch for the Bengals coming up. It is quite difficult here in Jacksonville this week. At Tennessee after that, they're tied for the division lead in the AFC South with the Jags. And then at Denver, three straight road games. So you got a feeling that the Bengals really need the first one to move on to the next two.
Well, that would be nice. I think going into a stretch like this, if you're honest about it, as a Bengals fan, you're hoping to take two out of three. I mean, it's highly unlikely that you could go on that run and win all three. So if you can get two out of three, you're thrilled. Now, if you get the first one, it's a lot easier to think about, okay, one out of the next two and you're good to go. But if they lose this week and somehow manage to win the next two, you'll be thrilled as a Bengals fan to get out of this stretch with two wins.
Hear more from Dan Hord coming up on the Public Sailgate Show this Sunday. Also this week, Colt Ford plays Daly's Place Saturday night. We visited with him last week on this podcast. Tickets available at dailysplace.com. In addition, the Roar of the Jaguars calendar unveiling is coming up right before that show Saturday, so get into Daly's Place early. Coming up Sunday, it's a 10 a.m. start for the Public Tailgate Show on 1010XL Radio, 10:30 a.m. for EverBank Jaguars Weekend on Fox 30 TV in Jacksonville. Check your local listings outside of the Jacksonville TV market. At noon, it's Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network featuring Pete Prisco, Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor, and The Final Word with head coach Doug Marone. Kickoff at 1 o'clock this Sunday for Bengals-Jaguars, and remember to wear your teal for this week's game. Our thanks to Jags defensive line coach Marion Hobby and the voice of the Bengals, Dan Hord. And as always, a thanks to manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll talk to you next week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.